Good morning, saints of God. On this July day, July 10th, 2021, you may not have been counting, but we have had no congregational worship since March 14th, 2020. And a quick calculation will tell you that it's now been 483 days, yes, since we've had congregational worship. I have some good news. Next Sabbath, July 17th, we will have our first congregational worship in 490 days. I'm looking forward to it. I'm longing to stand and speak and have an audience as opposed to be just looking at a camera. That's what I'm doing now. There is no one in the building but myself and our master technician in the sound room. But next Sabbath, we will have people in the congregation. And I want to thank our task force for the hard work it did. I want to thank Sister Fabre, in particular, our health and temperance leader, and for the work she did in spearheading everything so we can be safe. Now, some folk have been wondering, would we still be required to wear masks and do all the social distancing? I would say yes, except there's a little slight change of emphasis. As a church, we are going to recommend. That means we are going to rely upon you, the member, to be your brother's keeper, to be your sister's keeper. I'm vaccinated. And so the risk to myself is minimal, but I want to be considerate of those who, for whatever reason, may not be vaccinated. So when we come, we will wear masks. We're going to ask you to wear masks. We're not going to throw you out if you refuse to wear a mask, but we hope that you will be careful about the risks you pose to yourself and to your brothers and sisters. We have been set up for social distancing. Families would sit together. I'm excited. I don't know what God will do, but I'm hoping good things are ahead for us. So much about next Sabbath. Let me get on with the business of today. Father in heaven, we thank you for this, thy holy Sabbath day. And as we come to fellowship, to share, to hear a word from you, we pray that you would allow us to be vessels that are empty, waiting to be filled. Thank you for your patience with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let the saints say, Amen. I would commence by having the scripture reading read again. John 12, verse 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus's honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. and the house. I just love this. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Pause. What fragrance do you bring into the house? But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. That's what the Bible says. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was indeed that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You would always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Today, I want to speak on the subject. Guess who is coming to dinner? In John 12, we have Lazarus being raised from the dead. Actually, in John 11, rather, we had Lazarus being raised from the dead. In John 12, we find Jesus 7 days out from being put to death. And he is a guest, G-U-E-S-T, in guests who came to dinner. Today we will look at 4 people, with Jesus being the fifth. And as we develop this message, I'm asking you to ask yourself, with each character, who are you reflecting? We begin with the first person, Martha, who served. We are told that at one time, Martha was complaining, but here she is just serving. And I would like to submit that in her role of being a great hostess, Martha was faithful. Yes, she was. She was faithful. It was a special supper in honor of Jesus, and Martha took the time to ensure that Jesus had something to eat. She was faithful. She was not Mary. And we need to appreciate that for each child of God, whether you're from a family of 13 like me, or just from a family of 4 or 2, recognize that God has placed you in that family and he has given you a gift to be used first in your family, then to the community at large. Martha was faithful. And my question to you, even as we consider Martha today, are you complaining about the gift God has given to you to use to enhance the lives of those around you, not only in your domicile, but even in the place of worship? What gift has God given to you? And once you've recognized it, have you been faithful? Do you have the gift of teaching Sabbath school, but refuse to be faithful in dispensing with that gift? Do you have the gift of singing, and folk have a hard time getting you to commit to sing? Do you have the gift of hospitality, but refuse to invite anyone in for a meal? Do you have the gift of friendliness? Are you being faithful with that gift? I am told that I have a nice smile. And when people tell me that, I quickly credit my smile, and let me give it now, to my mother. I grew up in a home with a woman who just had the most gorgeous smile there is. That's her gift. My mother could walk into a room and the place becomes alive. That's her gift. And I'm asking you today, what is your gift? And like Martha, are you being faithful to your gift in utilizing it for the cause of God? It was a special supper. We are told that the dinner was in honor of Jesus. And while Martha was serving, we are told that in verse 2, Lazarus, along with others, was reclining, or they were rather, because he and others were reclining at the table. They were reclining. I want you to follow me. Martha was faithful, and Lazarus had fellowship. Martha, who served, was faithful, and Lazarus, who sat, had fellowship. I would imagine Lazarus was in another world. He must have been told by those around him, "Lazarus, man, you were dead." And by the way, you wouldn't know if you're dead. Somebody had to tell you. He was told, "Lazarus, you were dead, and Jesus raised you from your tomb." When he got there, 4 days late, you had already begun the process of putrefaction. You were smelling Lazarus. But Jesus raised you from the dead. My question to us even now is, are you smelling? Are you rotting from the inside? If so, just as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and gave him fellowship, Jesus has done the same for you and me. We can be in the house and worship. We can be in our homes and worship. We can experience fellowship because Jesus raised us from the dead. Lazarus, with others, reclined at the table, ready to eat from the one who served Martha and enjoy her faithfulness. I do believe God wants us to have fellowship. We're talking about God. We are talking about God. who made us. Listen to this, my friends. God made us so that He, God, can have fellowship with us. Isn't that something? That God wants fellowship with me? Come on, God. You could have gotten somebody better. You could have selected someone who is pure. And God, you want fellowship with me? Yes, son, that's why I came. I came so that sinners can be called to repentance. I came so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I came so that I can have fellowship with you. That is not a light thing that the great God of heaven wants to have fellowship with me. The next time someone is discarding you, someone is throwing you away, someone is neglecting or throwing you out, remember that one who is bigger than anyone on earth wants fellowship with you, and you can recline at the table of love and enjoy the fellowship with Jesus. Martha, who served, was faithful. Lazarus, who sat, had fellowship. The third character in this story was Martha's sister, Mary. While Martha served and Lazarus sat, watch this now, Mary shared. Mary shared. Has God given you the gift of sharing? And have you utilized that gift? There are some things that are indelible in a child. And I've watched in my own home where my mother imprinted on us the gift of sharing. Some folks say I'm generous and I just do things, but I take no credit because I grew up in an environment where my mother would make an extra plate for somebody who just stepped into town. You would have to leave your bed and sleep on the floor to give a stranger your bed. The gift of sharing sometimes calls for sacrifice. And when we think of Mary, what she had, the Bible says, was expensive. It was a year's worth of wages. It was expensive. So it must have taken a sacrifice. So what I'm saying is that sharing is not necessarily out of your abundance. Sharing might involve sacrifice. And whereas Martha was faithful and Lazarus had fellowship, Mary was fervent in her devotion. Fervency means I'm not just doing things in an unenthusiastic way. When I'm fervent, I'm dedicated, my eyes are fixed upon the task, and I'm giving my devotion to God without any grudges. Fervency. Mary was fervent. Are you fervent in your devotion to God? Or do you hold stuff back and say, this is too expensive for you, God. I can't give it to you. There are some folk who share, but they share the things they no longer want. The next time you go to Goodwill or the Salvation Army, and you're going to take some stuff. Take good stuff. Take stuff that you still like and that you will still wear. Don't take just the stuff that you've discarded. Be fervent in your devotion to God. And remember now, this is all occurring in the context that in a matter of days, Jesus would be dead. In her fervency, Mary understood that she was engaging in preparing the one she loved for his burial. When you anoint in the ancient history, that was done in terms of preparation for burial. That's why after when Jesus died, Mary went with it to the tomb so that they can prepare the body, brought ointments and spices, anointing. Let us be fervent with our expensive stuff. Let us share. One can serve, one may sit, and the other is sharing. But here we have a problem. Here we have a problem. There is always a fly in the ointment. The Bible says, but one of his disciples. Don't let that escape you. It meant one of us. Not an outsider. One from among his closest friends. One of his disciples. Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages, sacrifice. And I love how John puts it in plain English. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Hold a minute right there. Sometimes when you hear people talking about how much they care for others, you wonder, are they really that caring or are they looking out for some other thing? Do they have an agenda? Sometimes the agenda is to put you down, to say you're not doing what you're supposed to do. They may invoke the poor, but the poor is the furthest thing from their minds. Here is Judas Iscariot. And while Martha was faithful, and Lazarus had fellowship, and Mary was fervent, here comes the oil, the fly in the ointment. Judas was a fake. F-A-K-E. He was a fake. Judas was sitting there among them, but he had his mind on other things. How much can I get for myself? What's in it for me? So here is my question before we go to the fifth one. When we sip, when we participate, is it from faithfulness? Is it from genuine fellowship? Are we being fervent in our devotion or are we being fake? Now let me stop for a moment because that's a question for me and not for me to ask you. That's a question for you and not a question for you to ask somebody else. Because it's easy for us to think we know who's fake. And what Jesus is saying, just like at the communion, let every man so examine himself. God didn't ask you to examine somebody else. He's saying examine yourself and say, Lord, is it I? Am I being fake? Am I being fake? Is my smile not real? Is my fellowship fake? And so here you have these four characters. I love Jesus for many reasons. But as we come to the fifth and final one, here is my supreme reason for loving Jesus. When you are under attack, don't despair. Jesus will come to your rescue. Let me say that again. When you are under attack, don't despair. Jesus will come to your rescue. When Judas attacked Mary, Jesus came to her rescue. Mary didn't have to defend herself. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this. As a child of God, you don't have to defend yourself. God is going to give you the vindication you deserve. As soon as Judas attacked Mary, Jesus said, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you. Judas, is that what you're concerned about? You're always going to have the poor, but you will not always have me. Yes, here we are. Martha, who served, she was faithful. Lazarus, who sat, he had fellowship. Mary, who shared, she was fervent. And Judas, who stole, he was a fake. But Jesus, who saves, is fantastic. Jesus, who saves, is fantastic. Fantastic means words cannot describe. It's beyond. It's not normal. It's execution above every level. When something is fantastic, and I'm glad that we can reserve this for Jesus. For while Martha serves, and while Lazarus sits, and while Mary shares, and while Judas steals, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. I am grateful today that I can say, guess who came to dinner? It was Jesus. The dinner was in his honor, and even though he was there to save. So when we have Jesus in the house, my brothers and sisters, we are having one who saves. So today, I hope you can see yourself with Martha in her faithfulness. I hope you can see yourself in Lazarus, who had fellowship. I hope you can see yourself in Mary, who was perfect. And if perchance you see yourself like Judas who stole, Jesus saves. I trust today that somebody will say, Lord, save me. If this is your decision, wherever you are, whatever circumstance in which you find yourself, I want to impress upon you today, right now, you can lift your heart to God. You can raise your hand if you want to, and you can say, Jesus, you are fantastic because you save. You can take a wretch like me and set me free. Jesus saves is the message. Guess who wants to come to dinner in your house? It's Jesus. And remember, he is fantastic. How many would say with me today, raise your hand and say, Jesus, I re-invite you into my house, into my heart, because you save. And I am thankful that you are fantastic. Yes, Martha was faithful. I can be faithful. Yes, her brother Lazarus had fellowship. God wants me to have fellowship. Mary shared. She was fervent. Judas stole. God says, I can take that away from you. And Jesus saves because he is fantastic. Jesus, we thank you today for your grace that attends to all of us. Remind us every day that when you come to the fellowship, to the table, we can recline with you. And even though at that moment in John 12, you were 7 days away from your death, you knew that you are the resurrection and the life. And so today, Father, we fear nothing because Jesus is fantastic. In his name we pray, amen. May God bless you. And I'll see you next Sabbath, on our first Sabbath, where we will have congregational worship. 490 days from the last one. I'm looking forward to it. May God bless you all.